Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back into the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios. We, of course, are powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that we've got the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch and Ellis coming up next from 9 to 11. Really fun interview that they have today. Of course, we know that Travis Hunter won the Heisman Trophy over the weekend. They've got Colorado Athletic Director Rick George coming up to join Mason Crosby today. That's going to be at 10 AM on the Fan. So Mitch and Mason going to be interviewing Rick George. That's going to be a really fun interview. So again, stick around for that at 10 AM today. But right now, we are talking to Chris Roth, sports director, WBAY in Green Bay, host of Cover 2 and Action 2 News at 4:30 p.m. You can find him on Twitter at RothChris. Chris, it is great to be chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
Well, good morning. This is kind of fun. How on earth did Mason Crosby wind up getting a Colorado AD?
I wonder. Well, he's from college. That's where he played his college ball.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Oh, there you go. I didn't know if you were serious or you were just messing with me.
I was just for my sarcasm right away.
I should have known better.
Yeah, yeah. So good for apparently he's keeping his alumni contributions up. So good for him.
Very much so. I was just what, no Deion Sanders? Come on, Mason. You got to get that's got to be the next one, right?
He's keeping that ace up his sleeve, right, for later.
Yeah, there's got to be like some really, really big ratings week. You know that Deion's going to be coming on and chatting Colorado ball. I'm waiting for it, Mason. You're on the clock. You got to get Deion on the show. But that's going to be a great interview coming up today. I'm looking forward to that one. But I'm looking forward to this one, Chris. By the way, Sparky was telling me I didn't realize you had a previous Milwaukee presence. Is that correct?
Oh yeah, I worked at WISN, the ABC station there, Channel 12, for 4 years. That was during the Packers. Heyday from 95 through the 98 season. So and I also did some radio down there too.
But yeah, oh, there you go. Well, now you're back in your old stomping grounds.
I went to college at Marquette. I also worked at WTMJ as a producer before I got my first on-air job. So deep Milwaukee.
Well, there you go. Well, we're excited to have you back on the airwaves in Milwaukee. So let's start, Chris, with this Packers Seahawks game. What was it that you took away? What was your big, kind of key takeaway from this Packers win over the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle?
Adrian Cooper's a stud. that's the first and foremost thing. That kid is really, really good. I remember we always do a 1 hour draft preview show before the draft, obviously, and the name I had for him going in, I thought this guy would be great because we knew they needed linebackers, right? But like, he's a pigskin-seeking missile, right? He finds it and he takes it to the ground, or he just takes it. Period. He is so good. He changes what what they do on defense, and we all saw that the other night. And you just imagine what his numbers would be if he hadn't missed three games and they hadn't brought him along so slowly because he was kind of injured coming out of camp. But, man, he is really, really good and just changes everything they can do. I really look forward to the future with him. And I wonder at some point if, and I don't know which spot they're all going to play, but if you remember how good Tyrod Hopper was, their third-round pick, in the preseason. I get it, it's preseason. Clearly, he's having trouble getting up to speed, but such a good tackler in the middle and so athletic, not quite as athletic as Cooper or Walker, but those, you know, when you get those three on the field, when they can figure out how to put those three on the field, they're going to be dynamic.
Yeah, so you got to think. Go ahead. I was just going to say, you got to think that going into 2025, that they're starting, you know, three linebacker, that they want it to be Quay Walker, Tyrod Hopper, and Edgerrin Cooper as they're starting three, and then they'll figure out the nickel and the dime after that, of course. But yeah, the athleticism that they have at that position. I was looking at this too, because my immediate thought of, you know, when I see Edgerrin Cooper out on the field is that's the best linebacker that I've seen in Green Bay in my lifetime. Now, again, there's a lot of things that he needs to work on. He's a rookie. I'm not saying he's a finished product or anything like that. But I've not seen a linebacker. Now, Nick Barnett was really, really good. He was a really good middle linebacker. Desmond Bishop had some really fun seasons. Of course, they spent the early draft pick on AJ Hawk. Differing opinions on how effective he was during his course of the time in Green Bay. To me, what you even see in just those flashes of Edgerrin Cooper, I have not seen anything like that in my lifetime. And then I was going and looking of like, have there been Pro Bowl linebackers in my time in Green Bay? There have been two, technically. AJ Hawk had one season in 2010 as a alternate to the Pro Bowl in 2010, and he did not play in that game. That was the only real true off-ball linebacker that has been selected to a Pro Bowl in my lifetime. The only other one, technically, is Clay Matthews when he was doing the inside linebacker thing in 14 and 15, where he's really kind of still a true outside linebacker slash edge rusher, but they had to move him inside just due to needs, and he did get phenomenal to the Pro Bowl during that time as well.
He was phenomenal at inside backer.
He was.
I mean, he was an amazing football player. I know we're going off the rails here, but
no, wow. Go for it.
When they threw him in because they had to, they were getting no game changing plays from their inside backers that year. They put him in, and I think it was a Monday night game against the Bears. He's forcing a fumble. He's having sacks. He's breaking up passes. I mean, it was amazing. He was a heck of a football player, no matter where you put him. Remember, and he played safety in college, if I remember correctly. Special teams, he could also play some safety. He was just really, really good. The name that popped into my head, and it's before your time, but when you were talking about comparisons and when there's been a really good linebacker, all of a sudden Wayne Simmons, the late Wayne Simmons, popped into my head because he was so athletic but such a good aggressive tackler. He was a strong side backer. He played on the Super Bowl team in 96. It was the 95 game where he just absolutely beat the snot out of Brent Jones, the 49ers tight end, in that divisional playoff game out in San Francisco where they upset the 49ers and then lost to the Cowboys the next week in the NFC title game. But he was all over the field, super athletic, and just a violent physical presence. And that's the name that popped in my mind. I'm not saying Cooper's the same, but I was trying to think of guys in that vein that have been here since I've covered the team, and that's the name that pops into my head.
Yeah, he was so physical is the first thing that immediately came to my mind as soon as you started talking about Simmons. He was a really good first-round pick, obviously, and a key part of that 96 team as well. I didn't know if you were going Brian Noble, Johnny Holland. I didn't know how far back we were going here. But, the point being is Edgerrin Cooper is a game changer in the middle of that defense. And for a middle of the field, that was really a weakness kind of going into, especially this past week, all of a sudden he's in there, and it just looks completely different. It looks like there's an extra guy out on the field with how fast he plays. Yeah. It's so fun to watch him play. I'm so excited to see what his career can become. Yeah. Speaking of guys and what their career can become, Jordan Love, we were just talking about his second half of the seasons in Green Bay. Once week 11, you know, sort of comes around, of course, the joke is the Toyota-thon performances. But once that starts, he is absolutely on fire. What has been your impression of Jordan Love really since coming off kind of the bye week here?
Well, I think probably like everybody else, it's one that he's healthy, right? Because, you know, we all went into this season, everybody went into this season, fairly or unfairly, thinking he was going to pick up where he left off at the end of last year, which was just this just mercurial pace that he had. And maybe that was a bit unfair, but we never got a chance to see it because he got hurt in the first game, and then he came back, and then he got hurt again, and blah, blah, blah. So he certainly looks healthy. I think the decision-making looks better. He doesn't seem to be taking as many risks with the football. Clearly, you can point to the fact that he's now gone four straight games without an interception as one of those byproducts of being better with the football. But he's able to make better throws, too, because, you know, he's healthy. We could see him making good throws when he's on the move versus things that maybe aren't as good because he can't do it. So that I think that's number one. You probably mentioned this already, but there's the four-game interceptionless streak, now five straight games with passer ratings over 100, equaling his career high for that streak. So he's playing much better. I think what they have to unlock here is why they go through lulls where they're not moving the football. It's impossible to score on every drive in NFL. Everybody has that expectation. I get it. It's not going to happen. And you're going to get stopped from time to time. But, man, they go through some ruts that are just head-scratching. I'm not saying it's his fault. It might be the play calling. It might be a number of factors. But they have scored 32 points a game in their last four, and I don't think they've played 60 minutes in any of those four games, right? But it's really mind-boggling. But it also shows the potential. Like, these guys could be putting up 40 points a game if they do everything right. But they don't, and we're 14 games into the season, and that's curious to me, and I would say concerning this late in the season that they still have these issues, whether it's a penalty in the red zone or clock management, which I know you want to get into, or the fact that they're only playing one half versus another, they can't run the ball in the second half. Whatever those things are, they just keep happening from time to time. If those happen from time to time in the postseason, that's dangerous.
No, very much so. And what's weird about it is it's not just like you have like if they have like three punts throughout the game, it's not like it happens one early, one in the middle, one later, something like that against Detroit. It was to start the game, right? It was punt turnover. Yep. To start that game, and that really is probably the main reason that they lose that game. If they just don't have that three series lull to begin that game where they go scoreless, they probably win that game. And then in this one too, again, it's not gonna probably kill you against a team maybe like Seattle, but they start the game touchdown, field goal, punt, field goal, and you feel really good where the offense is. And then all of a sudden, their next four drives: punt, fumble, punt, turnover on downs. And those first three, three plays, 2 yards punt, two plays, 6 yards fumble, three plays, 4 yards punt. I mean, they have three straight drives where they get a total of 12 yards and include a turnover in there. And like, those are the things that are going to beat you, like you said, come playoff time, is if you go through those three or four series stretches where you can't get anything going, against good teams, that's going to kill you. So I'm with you. And I think it's a crazy thing to think about that this team is putting up 30 points per game and it still feels like they're, functioning at like 60, 70% of what they're capable of. Right. It's really crazy to think of what they could become.
Yeah, no question. You're 30 points a game, and you, like you just pointed out, the points that they're leaving on the field. You know, as they should have had four more points at the end of that first half. I mean, that clock mismanagement was just goofy as all get out. Like, they cost themselves a chance to go for a touchdown there. And it's those types of things that when you play the really, really good teams, you can't overcome. I mean, they played really well in the second half against Detroit, but they couldn't overcome it because it was a better team, right? Yep. And so that's what you're going to face when you get in the postseason.
Yeah,
and they're going to have to do it on the road. This team, it handles the road really well, obviously. So just saying they're going on the road in the playoffs, they're in big trouble. I don't think they are. I think they're in big trouble if they continue the things that when they hurt themselves.
It's the self-inflicted wounds. It's been the story of the season. It's when they're hurting themselves I honestly feel like the team that can beat the Packers the best is themselves. If they get out of their own way, I still think it's going to be really tough for any team to beat this team in the playoffs. We're being joined by Chris Roth, sports director, WBAY in Green Bay. You can find him as the host of Cover 2 and, of course, Action 2 News at 4:30 p.m. You can find him on social media at Roth Chris. All right, a couple questions about the defense, Chris, before we get you out of here. First of all, the pass rush. We finally saw some pressure up front from this team. 7 sacks, 12 quarterback hits. It came from a variety of different players. Is this legit? Is this fool's gold because it's against Seattle's offensive line? How are you feeling about this pass rush as we get to this final stretch?
Still with a lot to be determined. I mean, that's a good step in the right direction. There have been signs over the last few weeks. I mean, Rashawn Gary's got, what is he up to, 4.5 sacks in his last 6 games, I believe it is.
Sounds right.
I think the good thing is that where those sacks came from, outside of Edgerrin, they came from your front 4 guys the other night. And those are the ones that really need to be having that pressure. Because without Jaire Alexander, as I'm sure you've discussed many times on this program, Jeff Hafley is unwilling to send a lot of extra rushers in a game because he doesn't want to expose his corners. So even Edgerrin Cooper's blitz sack the other night, they still only rushed 4 on that play. So the fact that it's coming from the front guys, the pressure starting to, I mean, how long did it take Kenny Clark to get a sack? What was that Thursday night game, wasn't it, against Miami was his first of the season, which was remarkable. But 6 of the 7 the other night came from the front, and they had 12 quarterback hits, so they had 5 other quarterback hits in that game. That was a season high, 12, and all but, if I'm doing my math here correctly, all but 2 of those extra quarterback hits came from the guys up front. So that's encouraging. Lucas Van Ness in his last 3 games, I think, has 2 sacks and a couple of quarterback hits after being like lost in a statistical wasteland for weeks.
Yep.
He's finally starting to contribute. Devontae Wyatt, that sack the other night was his first since the Tennessee game. Now, I know he had the ankle injury, missed a few games, but he wasn't showing up on the stat sheet. They have to show up, and it doesn't always have to be sacks. They got to be around. They got to be moving the quarterback off the spot. We've seen more signs of that lately. That has to continue. Time will tell if it does. But that's what they need. That's the whole premise of this defense.
Yeah, I think so too. And last but not least, the Packers do have that Jaire Alexander injury. How would you handle this through the remainder of the season? Do you want to get him back on the field prior to the start of the playoffs just to work some of that rust off? Is this going to be purely based on medical? Do you give him until the playoffs? Like, how are you going to handle that through the remainder of this year?
Duct tape, prayers, find MacGyver. I don't know what to do with him anymore. I don't know how to handle him anymore. This is a guy that's missed 30 games in the last 3-plus seasons, right?
Yeah.
He's only played 6 full games this season. He only played 7 games last season. Now, one of those was the suspension that he missed. He only played 4 games in 2021. I don't know. And if you look at those numbers, wouldn't you be like, we want him for the playoffs, right?
Yep.
So that's what they're saying. We want this guy for the playoffs. We want him healthy because that makes us better. Great. But given all this time that he's missed, do you then risk playing him in a regular? You certainly don't play him on Monday night, right, against the Saints? Not against that offense. I mean, Marquez Valdez-Scantling is their top receiver, and they got him off the waiver wire earlier this year, and Spencer Rattler probably be their quarterback. They're not throwing a whole lot. I think you can get by without him in that game. Would you like to have him for Minnesota? Sure, but can you believe that you can put him out there and he doesn't get hurt again? I don't know. I don't know how you handle this because he has been so unavailable over the last 3-plus years. I think when you get to a game that you believe really matters, not what you and I believe, but what they believe really matters, you throw him out there and you hope for the best. But
yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. His last time he played 1,000 snaps was in 2020, 227 in 2021, 901 in 2022, 560 in 2023, only 361 so far in 2024. It's been a disappointing injury stretch for Jaire Alexander and company. Chris, I appreciate you a ton. Thank you so much for doing this. What do you got coming out on WBAY this week, and anything you want to plug on the way out here?
Well, we'll be there Cover 2 on Sunday night. For those in the Green Bay area, they can watch that. We'll have a preview of the Monday night game, and then finally, you know, WBAY is rejoicing because ABC gets a Packer game on Monday night. So we'll be doing the whole thing, the extended newscast before the show, before the game. We'll have our live post-game coverage on after the Packers and Saints, and hopefully everybody will be in the holiday spirit after that one.
We're really
down if they're not.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Yeah, we're not even going to speak that into existence.
Packers, right?
Yeah, the Packers take care of business against the Saints on Monday night. We'll be looking forward to your coverage on WBAY on Monday. Chris, you're the absolute best. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at Roth Chris. Chris, appreciate you a ton. As I mentioned, we'll be in touch. Thanks so much for doing this, and enjoy your week. And like I said, we'll be checking you out on Cover 2, Action 2 News at 4:30, and covering the game on Monday. When we come back, we'll be going to the Nicolay Law fan talk and text line. Easy for me to say, 414-677-1250. This is the Packaday Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.